All right, so I have with me the lovely and wonderful Samantha Adams, who we were in Idaho visiting because Samantha just went through the temple, got her endowments in preparation for going on a mission.
Indeed.
Where are you going on your mission?
I'm going to Morristown, New Jersey.
Nice.
In like, I don't know. A
couple of days?
Yeah, like 2 weeks.
Are you excited about visiting Morristown?
Yes. I'm going to be living there, so not quite visiting. It's a whole year and a half.
Yes.
But yeah.
So with the church, young women aren't required to go on missions like young men are.
Correct.
So what was it that, why did you decide to go on a mission?
Well, I have a distinct memory of being a small girl in primary, and they said, girls don't go on missions. And I said, ha, I'll show them, because I was a budding feminist at the ripe age of 6. And so I decided when I was a little kid that I was going to go on a mission, and obviously, over the years, that kind of waxed and waned. Like, I had this whole apathetic teenage years. And that, yeah, I definitely didn't want to go on a mission then. And then I had, like, rebellious college months. That didn't last a whole year. But, you know, eventually, I kind of always knew that I was going to go. And I remember when I got my patriarchal blessing, I was still kind of struggling with it a little bit. And it said, you get to go and serve in the mission field. And so I was like, well, that's that. And yeah, it wasn't, I decided to finish college first and then go on a mission because I knew I'd have a hard time returning. And yeah, it wasn't till a couple years later that I was actually ready to go.
Cool.
The time is now ripe.
Yes. So what kind of things have you specifically done to prepare for going on a mission?
Well, study the scriptures and try and talk to my friends who aren't members about religious things, whether it's the church. I mean, not anything necessarily specific to the church, but just, you know, do you believe in God? Like, maybe you should consider your eternal soul. That sort of thing. So, I mean, just trying to do small missionary work to try and get people to think about that stuff without being too preachy.
Cool.
Because being too preachy is a good way to lose friends sometimes.
Yeah. So do you feel comfortable with public speaking?
I hate public speaking. Hate it. I bore my testimony today because I figure it's my last testimony meeting with the home ward, and nobody knows who I am anyway, and my parents were there, all 4 of them, and some extra family, and I was like, well, I should bear my testimony, and I hate it, and I resisted, and then I finally decided I was going to, and then my heart felt like it was going to pound outside of my chest, and I had sweaty palms, and I was all shaky, and like, it was horrible for like a good 5-10 minutes while Mr. Yakety Yak was up there. It was like, get down so I can get this over with. And then I got up there and someone else was bearing their testimony because they were faster than me. So I had to wait, and that was worse. And then I got up there and started speaking and I managed not to cry. So I figure it was successful.
Impressive. Very nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
What are some childhood memories that you remember?
Childhood memories. Oh, gosh.
Funny stories or crazy things that happened?
I remember we used to have these gigantic plastic tubs, Cassie and I did. They were round and really deep. And we would, I don't know, we'd do all sorts of, like, they were our toy tubs, but we'd always dump out the toys and play in the tubs themselves. And they had, like, rope handles on the tops. And we'd crawl in them, and we'd run around the house with them on our heads, and we'd fill them full of water and play in them, and like,
we'd push each other around
in them, and those things were awesome. I just remember, I love those tubs, and I still kind of wish I could fit into them, because A, I'd be a lot skinnier than I am now, and B, they were really fun, and I would probably still play in them. And I remember, funny story, it was our birthday.
Hold on a second.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Are we starting over? Okay. So back to the funny story. We were talking... What was I talking about?
The funny story.
Birthday.
Oh, it was my birthday. And subsequently Cassie's birthday, because we happen to be born on the same day. And the family, Mama Bear and Papa Bear, had come to visit us for our birthday. And they said, oh, your present is out in the van. And I was like, oh, yay. So I jump up and run out the door, past a bike to the van. And I'm opening the van and like crawling around and looking for it. And I turn around and they're standing at the door, kind of like, what are you doing in the van? And I was like, where's my present? And I was really upset. And they're like, it's right here. And they were standing in front of my bike with a bow on it. And I definitely felt really stupid. But it was pretty funny because, you know, totally ran by the bike. It's like, that can't be it. It can't possibly be the bike. And yeah, so I was a little bit of a space cadet. And I don't know other stories from my childhood.
How about the time that Cassie's toe got smashed?
I don't even remember it.
Okay.
But apparently we were playing some sort of game with the door, and I closed the door on her front, her big toe, and it cracked and killed brutes or whatever, so now she's got cracked snaggly toe, and she still hates me for it.
She doesn't hate you for it.
Yeah.
So now, having gone through the temple, would there be any words of wisdom you'd give to other family members who haven't gone through the temple yet?
Mormons are weird. Don't freak out. Relax. Just kind of enjoy it. I don't know.
Are you grateful that you put the work into being able worthy to go?
Yeah,
to the
temple? I must say, one of the best experiences is preparing is actually the second interview with President Markham, because when he asked all the worthiness questions and I could answer them honestly, like, yes, I'm worthy, yes, I can go, yes, I'm chaste and virtuous, and yes, I believe in these things.
And yes, I'm awesome.
Yes, I'm awesome. And just being able to answer everything in the affirmative, except for the things you're not supposed to. And saying those things and then feeling that, yes, indeed you are worthy and you are true, and having that testament back to me that, yes, I was ready, that was one of the most amazing experiences in the preparatory process. And then definitely my favorite part of the temple was at the very end, being surrounded by my family and all being in white and just having all those people around me that loved me and cared about me and wanted me to succeed. That, I'm tearing up now. That was like the most amazing part. And, you know, just having that love for the gospel and for them and for God, and just big love fest. And it was a huge realization that that's what it's all about. The temple and all the weirdness before, and like, everything that I've been working towards is all about that, about having family together forever and being able to have those relationships and that, I don't know, that bond for eternity. That was the most exciting thing for me. And really, my parents have a history of not getting along very well, necessarily. It was kind of a rocky childhood. And, you know, and even lately they still have little gnarly stuff. And just having everyone there in the temple and having the peace and just the, I don't know, just that wonderful feeling of togetherness was big for me. That was probably the best part.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
So have as much family there as you love and can manage. That's my advice. And don't freak out, because I spent a lot of time trying not to sob and a lot of time like wondering, you know, like, what am I supposed to do now? And so it was a little tense and I ended up with a couple leg cramps and my face hurt from like clenching my jaw. So just relax. Remember periodically to like stop and think about your body and just relax everything, because otherwise you're really going to ache at the end. But, I mean, I wasn't nervous about it. I mean, some people are nervous. I wasn't nervous. It was just, you know, like, what's next? What's next? And it got me all tensed up. And, yeah. So that's my temple experience as much as I can tell you.
Cool. So,
Also, lots of static electricity. All temples. Tons of static electricity. So, like, stick dryer sheets in all of your clothing. Because otherwise you feel like static cling monster the entire time.
Okay, so you've managed to make it through your childhood, graduate from college with a bachelor's degree in...
Interior design.
And I
bachelor's
heard that
of science.
Sorry, bachelor's of science.
Just totally unuseful.
I hear it was pretty strenuous, though.
Yeah, I went to school full-time and worked anywhere from 20 to 38 hours a week for about 3 years.
So worked 20 to 30 hours on a different job or on school?
On a job. And then I'd go to school. So I'd wake up in the morning and go to class, and then I'd finish with class and go to work, and I'd work till like 9 or 10 at night, sometimes 11, and then I'd go back to school till at least 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And then I'd go home and spend like an hour eating and showering and stuff. Well, actually, sometimes, a lot of times I just skipped showering because I was so sleep deprived and I didn't care. And I'd fall into bed and wake up at like 7 or 8 the next day. And I did that for 3 or 4 years. And sometimes I remember finals week, the week before and finals week, I was so busy with school and work that I only spent maybe like 3 hours at home a night, 3 or 4 hours at home. And Mr. Stock got up extra early in the morning because he hadn't seen me for 2 weeks and he was wondering how I was doing. So he got up at like 3 or 4 in the morning so he could see me because I was so gone. I remember Mom was really worried about me back then. She was like, just stop working, we'll take care of it. And I was like, no.
Well, we love you and we were all worried about you. We didn't want you to get in a car accident or anything like
that. Oh, I almost did several times. And then after that, I worked overnights at Walmart and I picked up a second job during the day. It was part-time, like it was only on weekends, but it was still a full 8-hour day. And the weekends, I worked pretty much, I was up for 2.5, 3 days straight. And then I'd go to church and sleep through sacrament meeting and then I would leave. So I was like, if I'm just going to sleep through it, I might as well sleep at home in bed. But that was pretty horrible. I've always kind of been a workaholic. I don't like being lazy.
So you enjoyed your degree for the most part besides...
The parts I remember were great. It's honestly all kind of a blur. I don't really remember much of it, to tell the truth. But, you know, what can you do?
Cool. So you've made it through your childhood, you've graduated with a degree now, you're going on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a vision of what your life will be like in 5 or 10 years? Any plans or goals or visions?
Visions of the future. Oh yes, it's like a time capsule. Well, I'm currently dating a lovely boy named Sterling, who's a non-member. And it's been about 6, 8 months. I have no idea. I'm horrible with dates. It's been a while. And he's a non-member and he wants to wait because he's crazy.
He wants to wait for what?
For me to get back
from your mission
and dating. And there's a year and a half, so we'll see how that goes. But if all goes well, in Sam's idealistic planet, he joins the church, I get back, we date. It's fabulous. We get married. We make bunches of little baby crones and travel the world together and nest. I really want a nest. I want a house of my own so I can play with it. But yeah. And then I wouldn't be surprised. So whether it's him or whoever else, I'm going to get married. And then I think I'd like to get a long arm quilt machine and make money doing quilts for other people. Because I can do that at home and raise children at the same time and still make money out of the house. Because I don't think interior design is for me. I love it as an art, but it's too cutthroat. Like, the business itself is just very shallow and very competitive and very aggressive. And you have to sell, sell, sell and be a salesman. And I'm like, way too chill for that. So I think I'm probably gonna do design work and maybe do, like, I'd like to learn theater set design and maybe work for like a local theater company, volunteering or making a little money designing and building sets. And if I go back to school, I don't want a master's, but I think I want to get a bachelor's in furniture design.
Ooh.
So ideally, I would do furniture design and maybe start a business doing custom pieces of furniture or, you know, molded pieces of furniture or something that was more to my creative tastes. Also, Amy, what was her name? Amy something or another. I don't know. I worked for her at the quilt shop. She designs fabric lines. And she wants to start her own printing company. So she said when I get back, if I have some ideas and she has her own printing company, she'll help me get started and maybe start some of my own fabric lines. So I don't know. Designing is in my future, whatever form it happens to take, because I have too many interests. But yeah.
So it sounds like quilting and designing are some of your hobbies. Do you have any other hobbies?
Drawing. My favorite medium is, strangely enough, ballpoint pens and oil pastels. I've started a couple comics, but they were all crap, so ideally that would be a hobby someday, but not right now. And I really like to journal. I really, really like to write. Writing is very cathartic for me, and it is... It's actually one of the ways I receive revelation, because I write things down. I have realizations about myself and life and situations. And so it's how I really organize my thoughts. And since I have horrible memory, it's a really good thing that I journal, because I don't remember my life pretty much at all. And let's see, another hobby. I like music a lot. I don't make it and I don't play any instruments, but I like it. And I quilt. I do a little bit of clothing construction. I do cross stitch, and I've gotten into embroidery again. So I think I'm going to start doing my own embroidery designs. And I've done some independent consulting as far as interior design goes, but nothing huge. What else? I'm kind of getting into whole mixed media art. So found objects and collaging kind of things, but I'm not really good at it yet, so I haven't done much. I mean, I'd like to learn to blow glass, and I've done some ceramics. I like that. And I like gardening, but it's been too cold lately, so I haven't really done much of that. I don't know. I really like to cook, it turns out, basically because I like food. And if there's any pictures accompanying this, that will become readily apparent. You know, good food, it's important. Brings families together and feeds people. And, I don't know. I like to read a lot, but I haven't done much of that lately either. Really love to read.
I've heard stories that growing up you would read voraciously and read by lamplight from out on the street because your parents would make you turn off the light and things like that.
Yeah, I'd open up the blinds and curl up next to the window and read by lamplight. Or I'd hide under the bed and do flashlight. But sometimes they'd notice that. The thing with that is it's really hot under sheets. Like, you can't breathe. You can read for, like, maybe 20 minutes, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm done. But, yeah, I would read till the wee hours of the morning, and then I wouldn't be able to get up. And then I'd come home and keep reading. I remember in class once, we were studying... I think it might have been math. And math is horrible. I hate math. And the teacher caught me reading a book of Egyptian mythology. Like a big book. I must have been in like third or fourth grade. And I had this big book of Egyptian mythology. And she caught me. And she's like, if I catch you reading again, I'm taking it away and moving you to the front of the class. And she was like really upset about it. And then she caught me again. And she's like, I love that you want to read. That's great. But not right now. We're doing math. And so I sulked for the rest of the class. I remember that. But I was reading like Greek and Roman mythology when I was in middle school. So I'm kind of a mythology nerd. But that's cool. And I like comic books. You know, I'm 24 and I still read comic books. And I probably will till I die.
So what are some accomplishments that you're really proud of?
Accomplishments I'm proud of. Well, I graduated college. And I'm proud of this mission, I guess. I wouldn't call it pride, but I'm happy about it. I'm proud of the quilts I've designed and completed, because those are big projects. I'm proud of having good relationships with my family and friends, and having friends that are awesome. I have awesome friends. I attract awesome people. Weird, awesome people. I never get normal friends. They're just too boring. I have very eccentric friends. And I guess that's something I could be proud of.
Yes.
I don't really know. Proud of... Yeah.
Those are good things to be proud of.
I don't feel like I've done much that you would be traditionally proud of. Not a very proud person. Not much of a show-off either, so it's...
So just to get some insight into your personality, what's your dream car?
My dream car?
If money didn't matter, what car would you have?
I can't give you specifics because I don't know much about cars, but it would definitely be some sort of vintage muscle car, tricked out. Like, it would be big pimpin'. And probably a convertible, just because I love the whole wind in my hair. Love that. So, I mean, that might be kind of traditional, but... Yeah, definitely classic car, a classic convertible of some kind. I'm thinking maybe a Corvette. I like Mustangs, but there were a couple of really ugly years. Mm-hmm. So kind of got to be careful. And the only other car I've ever really wanted, and I don't know why, is an El Camino. Tricked out El Camino. Because, you know, half truck, half car. Genius. All ghetto. And I'm telling you, this thing would be white outsides, white interiors, mirror ball, like pimp.
Nice.
Pimp-mobile.
And what's one of your favorite movies or TV shows right now?
Oh, man. Favorite TV shows? I mean, I love Bones and Castle, and I like NCIS and weird sci-fi like Haven and... you know, freaky weirdness. Doctor Who. Can't go wrong with Doctor Who. I don't know what else. I don't watch a ton of TV. I don't watch a ton of movies either, because I just... It's kind of a waste of time. And when I do watch them, I'm doing other things. So I'm really just listening to them. And guilty pleasure, I like Family Guy. I'm Futurama. And I recently got into American Dad. And it's kind of embarrassing whenever family members come downstairs because they're like, what are you watching? And I'm like, nothing. Shut up, Peter Griffin. But yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
Well, best of luck to you on your mission.
I assume that's enough.
Sure.
Cool.
Unless you have other awesome stuff you want to share about your awesome self.
You know, I have all sorts of stories, but I could fill up your entire computer. I'm not going to talk that long.
We've got all the time we need.
Well,
what are some more awesome stories that you're thinking of?
Awesome stories that I'm thinking of. Most of them involve Cassie being embarrassed. So I probably should. Yes.
Please share. Please.
Cassie was kind of a weenie when we were growing up. She was really the wimpy one.
And Cassie's your twin sister?
Yeah, she's the wimpy twin. And I was like the super strong twin. And she hated when people compared us because inevitably I always won. And I don't know if I could tell you anything specific right now, but most of the embarrassing stories definitely involve her. Because I don't know, I don't get embarrassed easily. I just don't care, I guess is the thing. I don't know. Oh, geez. She was really awkward. Really awkward. And she was very high strung in high school, and so people had a hard time being around her because she was just really wound tight. And she's like, why don't people like me? I'm like, just chill out. But you know, she means well. She's a good spirit. I love her, but she's definitely kind of awkward.
So what was it like growing up with a twin, or being a twin?
Well, everyone always asks us which one's the evil twin and which one's the good twin, which is incredibly annoying. And people would always ask us, are we identical? And if you know anything about us, we don't look anything alike. And I would always respond with, do you know what the definition of identical is? Yeah, it looks the same. Well, do we look the same? No. Then no, we're not identical. Thanks for asking. You know, I think it's just a gut reaction. Oh, you're twins? Are you identical? No. No, we're not. But I don't know. It was almost like being two children because the rest of the family was so much older than us. So it was really kind of just the two of us. And Cassie was kind of clingy. She really hasn't grown out of that. Mike can tell you. But, you know, it was nice having her around. There was always someone. We moved around a lot, like, because Mom always followed work and we were really poor. And so we moved around a lot and we always started new schools. And it was always nice to know at least one person at school. So even if we didn't know anybody else, at least we had one person to sit with at lunch or on the playground. So that was nice. But part of that is what made us so friendly is because we moved around so much. We just got used to making friends all the time. So we're both pretty friendly just because we had to be, you know. But, I mean, that's good. Definite plus. I mean, we had a rough childhood and it was pretty crazy and, you know, psychotic, really. But I like to think that if our upbringing hadn't been so non-traditional, if it hadn't been so, I don't know, tumultuous, that we wouldn't be nearly as interesting as we are. We'd be boring, little nuclear family, just like everybody else. We didn't need to rebel because we were already out there. So it was pretty good.
So, and you met me about the same time Cassie did.
I did.
What did you think of me when you met me?
I didn't really think of you much at all. I was just like, oh, that kid's a nerd. Those are some sweet high waters. Loving the socks and sandals. Just a, you know, but Cassie was all flirty, and I was like, whatever. Because I didn't really care. I was half asleep anyway. But once you guys started dating, I liked you a lot better.
That's good.
I didn't really know you much until you guys got married, though, because I wasn't really around. But you're perfect for her, so I think it's a good deal.
Cool.
I don't know. You're much better than her first boyfriend. I don't like him at all. Plus, you can never trust gingers. They're sneaky little devils.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem. I have plenty of it. Well, not really. I have about 2 weeks worth.
Cool. All right, well, we'll see you in about a year and a half.
Yes, and then I imagine we're going to do this again, huh?
Probably.
Cool.
If I'm still into this sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
All right. Thank you.
Before and after. Later.